Morning. Our reading this morning is from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, which is found on page 4 in the Pew Bibles. Visitors from the East. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader, who will guide my people Israel.' So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: 'Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him.' And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod."
Kia ora koutou. It's 12 days after Christmas, and this morning I'm going to need some help telling what happened next in the story after Jesus was born. So it's going to be simple and fun, I hope. So for kids and maybe a handful of adults, the more the merrier. If you'd like to be involved, then just head out the back there, and there's a whole lot of really good, interesting props out there that are going to help us with our storytelling. And we might need someone, you know, stunningly handsome and tough. And so I'm wondering whether Chris Gilmore might want to head out there as well. But out there. You don't need to. If someone else is out there that's you know, like you, then that'd be great. Hey, well, my name's Andrew Sangster. I'm the pastor up at West, and yeah, it is just fantastic to be here together today, to be sharing time together as churches. We've done a few combined services now, and it's good to be able to recognise more faces and also get to know some more local people too. Andrew Callender and I really appreciate and enjoy time that we spend together, and are delighted that we can combine as churches to worship and to be sustained in our following of Jesus together. Hey, so this morning we're simply going to tell the story once again, the story of what happened 2,000 years ago. And I think there's value in being reminded again of the big story that we are part of God's love and of God's activity in the world. The world God loves and is at work in to reconcile all things, to make all things new. Now, of course, we know about God becoming human. We know that on Christmas Day, the King of the universe, Jesus, was born in a little town called Bethlehem to a young mum called Mary, who had no family support at the time. We know that stuff. We celebrate Christmas every year. Many churches practice a time of waiting called Advent every year, choosing to do things that help us wait with expectancy for God's breaking into earth's reality like never before. So as we remember God becoming human, we're reminded that it's good to be human. It's good to be on this earth. It's good to be in physical environments and good to have emotions and thoughts, hopes and dreams. God loves this earthy stuff. But I think what's important is that we don't just speak of Advent or preparing for Christmas simply to wait for little baby Jesus to be born, because that obviously happened a long time ago, didn't it? But rather, we've been preparing for and welcoming yet again Christ Jesus, who is forever being born afresh in our lives and in people's lives. So last week's Christmas story tells us that there wasn't any room in the inn. And in 2020, we must remember to make room. To make room for mystery, to make room for the unknown and unknowable. To make room for God, who in Christ is making all things new. And so in 2020, may we be open through God's Spirit to newness. And in 2020, may we be guided like farmers and like royalty, like how they were, to see things more as God sees them, with value and purpose, with meaning and potential, with hope and love, grounded in the life that we live here in this part of New Plymouth, Aotearoa. So if we could have our first slide up, that'd be great. Because we're ready for the story which picks up after Mary and Joseph have laid Jesus in a feeding trough. And we might like to use this image to help us imagine the setting. Are we ready to go out the back out there? We might need someone to give the... Oh, cheers, man. You guys ready to go? Oh, that's definitely not going to happen. I cannot ad lib for that long. Some might, not me. Yeah. Give them about 10 seconds. Round it up to the nearest 10 seconds. Okay, sweet. Okay, here we go. The Nativity story zooms right out next to take in shepherds not at their best, trying to get through the night who were about to get an enormous fright. So any shepherds who are here today, please can you gather over that way? Let's welcome our shepherds. And make yourselves comfortable on the ground, around the fire. Next slide. Next slide, please. Thank you. Around the fire, some of you sleeping sound. Others of you might count the sheep to make sure none have taken a leap off the hillside or got otherwise lost, because every lost sheep to you will cost. Nothing much happens during the night shift. It's usually a good time to catch up on sleep. You sleep sitting up, do you? Now, shepherds weren't considered very important in those days because they couldn't get sorted to worship at the temple or synagogue due to always working on the Sabbath. So they couldn't usually worship with anyone else. But on that night, worship came to them. We're going to need our angels up here. Wow. Please come up, angels, and stand over there. And ready to say boo to the shepherds and give them a scare. 1, 2, 3. The shepherds were completely petrified. The shepherds were completely petrified. They hugged each other and shook and cried. But the angels said to them, "Don't worry, but I would advise you to hurry to the town where you will find the baby Messiah who will save humankind. And if you need some proof of this, you'll find the baby where ox food normally is." Then suddenly, the whole sky was full up of angels singing, "Glory to God. The angels disappeared, the shepherds jumped up and left the sheep there, the whole flock, to rush off to find the newborn king. So you guys can head up and wander around and find your way to close by, to Bethlehem. Using the angels' clues about where he was lying. Soon Joseph and Mary... Joseph and Mary soon met all of them when the shepherds arrived in Bethlehem. Welcome, Joseph and Mary. The shepherds came to where the new family were, tiptoeing in, tiptoeing shepherds, so as to not cause a stir. And they just knew there was something special about the boy, so they hushed their babble and knelt silently by the manger there before telling the story of what led them here. The new parents, congratulations, were totally amazed. Where's your shocked face? By their story, which some have said might be crazed. But they were getting used to surprises from God, so they listened and remembered the whole lot. Now, Mary and Joseph and shepherds can sit, because the next part of the story is set a very long way away in lands to the east, where wise ones study the stars down to the least. The least little change or movement which they thought to show up there in the sky what was happening on earth below. So let's have any wise ones up here to consult the stars with their telescopes or non-telescopes. Welcome, wise ones, over here to the east. And compare the stars with their maps and charts. And do we have anyone who has come as a star? Any stars out there?
I'm the only one here, actually.
No? Who said that?
I'm here.
Not yet. You're a star. Who said that about the thing? You can come and be a star. That'd be great. Come up and be a star with us. So, Star, could you please come over to Bethlehem? You can have more than one star. Who else? Anyone else want to be a star? Well done, you guys. You guys can be stars over here by Bethlehem. The star appeared when Jesus was born, and the wise ones spotted it shining out. They said, after me, "What is this that we see?
What is
Can you see that? What is this that we see?
What is this that we see?
The new star was shining so brilliantly. What should they do? This group so clever. They talked in a huddle. Talk in a huddle. Talk together. They talked in a huddle with their heads together. Let's follow the star, they decided as one, as it must mean a royal baby has come. They set off on their adventure, not knowing where or when it would end. By far the longest journey in this tale, across desert mountain, stream and dale. And such a long way it was, no doubt, that because the star appeared when Jesus popped out, it was at least a year after the star was found, when these wise guys arrived in town. Please, can the stars lead the wise ones around? So wise ones, you can follow the stars back around. And the stars, I think the stars might know where to end up leading the wise ones. You follow them, follow them. Now I'm hoping we have a room, I'm hoping in the room we have a king who goes by the name of Herod, I'm thinking. He should come up here and sit on this big throne for a bit. Oh, hang on. You're in Jerusalem. You're in Jerusalem, so yep, that's good. As we continue to tell the story, the wise men didn't go at first to Bethlehem because the star wasn't that precise. Oh, I put them wrong. Come over this way, stars and wise guys. And now our story gets less nice. King Herod is a nasty sort of man. I'm friends with Chris, so I can say this. Hey, Chris. King Herod is a nasty sort of man who does everything that he possibly can to keep himself in the seat of power. The wise men, not wanting to scour the whole country for this new king, went straight to Herod's palace. The doorbell went ding. When they turned up at his place, Herod put on his very nicest face. He shook their hands and welcomed them all and listened to their story, enthralled. Then he left them eating and drinking, as he did not like what he was hearing. He called together his cleverest folk to ask them what the prophets had spoke about where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, they said, in a new dawn. Herod was scared of losing his throne to a new king he didn't even know. So he went back to the wise men with a smile and told them where to find the child, and also asked them, by the by, to let him know where he could also, the boy, could spy. King Herod, you can sit down for a while while the wise ones find the child. So the wise ones went to Bethlehem, Jesus finding. The boy by now was probably walking. But Joseph and Mary had stayed in the town until he was big enough to travel back down to Nazareth, where he would grow up and live. But I skip ahead, I always do this. So let's have our stars, yes, you two will do well, to show the kings and queens where the family dwell. The wise guys arrived properly following the star until it stops where the family are. So let's have our Mary making Jesus' bed and Joseph sawing wood for the shed. Here come the wise ones knocking at the door. Not what Joseph expected at all. Joseph's there. He invited them in. And then they saw the child they'd travelled all this way for. They presented him gifts, not the usual kind. No teddies or woolly hats lined with soft fur, but gold and frankincense and myrrh. Three gifts, yes, but not necessarily three. Wise men, now don't get cross with me, but there may have been more or fewer of these rich travelling astrologers. Gold for a king, incense for a god, but myrrh is the sad gift of the lot. Pointing ahead to the Easter story, which is also in places really quite gory. They left their gifts and had a nap. Wise guys, have a nap. Before they were due to set off back, to tell Herod where to find the boy. But, warned in a dream about Herod's ploy, they went back east a different road. So, you guys can head back off a different route around, right around the outside, and end up back at Jerusalem. Oh no, not to, don't go to Jerusalem. And can we have, oh, here it is up here once more, while you wise guys, oh, you guys can stay over the Far East, that's great. Now, when Herod found out the wise ones had gone back home a different way, he got really steaming mad and said, I would have ensured that king was dead. But as I don't know where he is, I have no choice but to improvise. He calculated when the wise men said the star had appeared, which had led them to this land, and he worked out he could leave no room for doubt. So Herod sent every single soldier to find the boys who were two or younger, and tragic to say, all of them died in one horrible night in ancient times. The only good news in this horrid part was that Joseph was warned to quickly depart to Egypt, where his family would be safe. So they fled there, trusting God with faith. Our Lord Jesus became a vulnerable refugee. Like him, so many others just have to flee. What's needed in times like these are new people to become like family. Later, Herod became sick and died. Our refugees heard the news and perhaps they cried, happy tears, for this meant the long-awaited journey back to Nazareth to be reunited with family. We'll leave our story there for today. Let's remember God loves everyone every single day. So much so that the only Son came to earth, and this is why we celebrate Jesus' birth. The life of Jesus Christ is present with us all. Each moment in life, whether we're having a ball or struggling along trying not to fall. Newness, aliveness, hope, peace and joy come through the life of this precious baby boy. Me anoi tato. Let's pray together. Wise and loving God, you love us so much that you came to us at Christmas in all of Earth's earthiness. Thank you that you didn't just come once, but that by your Spirit, you continue to come to us. God, you know where each one of us are at. You know what is happening in our lives. The challenges, the good things, the things we're afraid of, the things we hope for. You know how we're feeling. You know what we need. So let's just pause and consider those things. Christ Jesus, be born afresh in our lives today, that we may be filled with hope. Christ Jesus, be born afresh in our families today, that we may be filled with joy. Christ Jesus, be born afresh in our communities today, that we all may be filled with love. Christ Jesus, be born afresh in the lives of all those who are suffering today, especially as we think of the people of Australia and Syria and other places. Please fill them with your peace. Amen. Well, thanks so much. You guys did such a good job. Shepherds, angels, stars, Herod, wise guys, thank you. Okay, grab a seat.